Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The amount of election-related disinformation online has dropped dramatically after several media platforms banned President Trump almost 2 weeks ago. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Spotify, Twitch all suspended Trump and several of his allies on January 8th, 2 days after the deadly insurrection at the Capitol. And since then, misinformation on those sites has plummeted by more than 70%. This is according to the research firm Zignal Labs. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, joins us from Washington as he does every Monday. And Derek, this should not be surprising. You know, a study by Cornell in October showed that globally, around the world, President Trump was the largest driver of false information about the coronavirus. Still, your thoughts on this ban reducing disinformation by 70%.
I think this is pretty straightforward. Donald Trump is the misinformer in chief. He has been the misinformer in chief for all 4 years of his presidency. He has tens of millions of followers. So anyone else who is similarly dishonest or similarly disinterested in truth isn't going to reach nearly as many people because they don't have tens of millions of followers on something like Twitter. And so, of course, banning him from the site has absolutely reduced disinformation. It's made it harder for him to put stuff into the public waterways of information, and it's been harder to retweet him or to jump onto his conspiracy theories and then embellish them as we have seen so often on Twitter, on Facebook, and across social media. So it's not surprising at all, and this is, I think, exactly what a lot of social media critics have been predicting for years. They've said, if you directly take on the leading mongers of disinformation, you're going to be able to erase it from the site.
Yeah. Okay, but a couple questions. Zignal found that Twitter mentions of election fraud went from 2.5 million to just over 680,000. It reports that hashtags related to the insurrection at the Capitol dropped across platforms by about 95%. Twitter, by the way, also banned 70,000 accounts affiliated with the ridiculous and baseless QAnon conspiracy theory. So first question, given how immediate the impact was, doesn't it show that these platforms could have done this sooner?
I think this is tough. So, you know, social media has, in the last, say, decade, been in what I've sort of equated with the Wild West in terms of its regulation. They haven't exactly applied laws evenly. They don't necessarily even have laws, the kind of regulation that you need to apply across social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, doesn't exist at the federal level yet. And as a result, there was a little bit of a laissez-faire, anything-goes sort of feel. Like, and if you've, you know, ever maybe seen a television show or a movie about the Wild West in the middle or late 19th century, that's essentially what you had online. Now we're starting to see law creep into the proverbial Wyomings of Twitter and Facebook. They're starting to really take action against people that very clearly violate terms of service, and in this case, you know, incite violence based on a conspiracy theory. So I'm not surprised that this happened. I think that the incident of 1/6, the insurrection, the Capitol siege, essentially served as a litmus test. And you saw a lot of social media companies essentially act around that. But I think we need rules going forward because hopefully, fingers crossed, you're not going to have moments like the Capitol siege or that insurrection every single week. But you still need some law going forward to determine who stays on the site and who violates the terms of service so much they have to be deplatformed.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't this, though, whack-a-mole? I mean, doesn't this mean that President Trump and his allies and white supremacists who follow him and average voters will just gravitate to or create other forums?
This is a really interesting question. So on the one hand, I totally agree with you. If they're kicked off of Facebook, kicked off of Twitter, they're just going to go to some place like Gab or Parler. But with Parler, for example, we saw that Parler itself was somewhat deplatformed or at least unservered. You had companies that were providing both its server technology and its discoverability, essentially say, you have proven yourself beyond the pale and we don't want to work with you anymore. So we'll see where these people go because they're going to go somewhere. Right now, I think they're probably going to this other social media site called Gab. But it raises the prospect that today, you know, you look at a place like Facebook and Twitter, And it is inclusive of a huge, wide variety of ideologies from far left to far right. But what happens when social media sites essentially start to bifurcate by ideology, where, say, you know, the center left is on Twitter and conservatives, you know, are on, Gab, and then the leftists go onto some other platform, it means that our already fractured, already somewhat shattered sense of a shared reality in America is going to become even more fractured and even more fragmented.
Yeah, if platforms start banning politicians supported by more than a third of the country, you know, what does it mean for the future of a shared reality? And by the way, we're going to ask you also about that video that surfaced from The New Yorker, stuff that we used to see on social media. Now that's gravitating to broadcast channels. This was stuff of rioters behind the scenes in the Senate. That was quite stunning over the weekend. There's no question that the broadcast social media landscape is convulsing right now because of the Capitol attack, and we'll talk to you more about that. Derek Thompson from The Atlantic, thank you so much.
Thank you.